San Francisco just hosted the weekend Portola Music Festival, and people gathered to let their freak flags fly at the Folsom Street Fair over the weekend as well. So are we in a pandemic lull, or are both lawmakers and the general public being a little bit too cavalier when it comes to COVID-19? To answer your questions on this topic, we're joined now on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Peter Chin Hong, professor of medicine and infectious disease expert at UCSF's School of Medicine. If you've got a question for the doctor, just email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Doctor, thanks as always for taking the time to talk to us. Both of the examples I just gave were outdoor events, which generally are thought to be less risky than indoors. But are things like this wise at this point in the pandemic? I'm not going to use the word safe, but wise?
Well, Melissa, I think that, we've given up so much in the last almost 3 years now that it's understandable that people want to get back a semblance of what they gave up. And if there's ever a time to do that, it'll be right now, since we're experiencing the first time a lull in the Bay Area in cases for a period of 5 months or so when we had this last surge. I do think that although outdoors is pretty, not so much risky, about 20 times less risky than indoors, many of these outdoor events are associated with indoor gatherings. So that's where you might see a few cases pop up. And the second point is, even though cases are in a lull in the Bay Area, particularly with Folsom, you have people from all over the world coming, including from Europe. Europe is experiencing the beginnings of a winter surge right now in some countries like Belgium, UK, and Denmark. So I think that, it is what it is, but it is probably the best time to do it before cases may go up again later in the year.
When we say lull, does that mean cases have plateaued or that they're falling?
They've fallen. We've had about 30% decrease in infections in the Bay Area within the last week. So we're dropping very quickly. And that's because, we think about vaccinations and boosting, but also a lot of people got infected. In fact, some estimates indicate that the Bay Area probably had the most infections in the last 5 or 6 months, because in the history of the pandemic, because many people were testing at home.
Got it. Okay. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to go to, say, a concert or, a music festival at this point? Because as you mentioned, we've forsaken so much over the last 2.5 years, but also wants to be more COVID cautious than maybe some of the people around them.
Well, I would say walk around with a high quality mask in your pocket. I certainly do. And if you find yourself in a crowded indoor setting with poor ventilation, you put it on. I was walking around Folsom, for example, yesterday, and I maybe saw a few people carrying around masks, and I thought that was probably a good idea. I think that the other thing, particularly for people at high risk of getting seriously ill, have a Paxlovid plan, and that is who's going to prescribe it, do you have drug interactions, and where can you get it? Those are some of the questions I'd ask. There are other alternatives in case you can't get Paxlovid. And the important thing about these early therapies is that it's not only for people who, have had vaccination. Obviously, it's really anybody can get Paxlovid, and particularly those who haven't been vaccinated, it can keep you away from the hospital.
All right. You are listening to Ask an Expert. Our guest today, Dr. Peter Chin Hong, professor of medicine and infectious disease expert at UCSF's School of Medicine. If you've got a question for the doctor, just email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Doctor, we are going to dive into some of these listener questions right now. This person has observed that sometimes events like the Portola Music Festival make for good date ideas. Should people who are possibly on a date with somebody or wanting to meet people at mass gatherings like this take extra precautions?
Well, I think that, when you're meeting somebody at an event like this, I think it's just really important just to have an open conversation. And depending on if you know this person or if it's the first time, you'd want to kind of get people's info and stay in touch a little bit after. That goes for COVID, goes for Mpox, lots of other transmissible diseases where the person might get infected after the fact, like a few days after. And if you maintain that open conversation, you could at least take steps to kind of figure out if there's anything you need to take or any measures you need to do or inform other people you might have been in touch with. So I think that's probably the most important thing. The second thing is, again, depending on the nature of your interaction with that person, you know, you can basically know how protected you are, how protected the other person is, and gauge the level of risk with the level of intimacy that you're having with the person.
All right. This person wants to know if we had a summer surge this year of COVID-19, and if so, how it compared to last year or 2020, maybe not so comparable because we didn't have vaccines yet, but how compared to last year?
Well, the big difference between this year and last year is that we've had probably the highest numbers of cases we've had when you look at wastewater data, but we've had the relatively modest hospitalizations that really didn't peak like they did 1 year ago. And that's that sort of disconnect or decoupling, as some people put it, is really because people have been vaccinated, have been boosted, and also have had probably super infection or breakthrough infection, as we call it. So that hybrid immunity really keeps people away from the hospital to the most part. And that's a big difference from earlier parts of the pandemic.
Got it. Okay. We have a couple of questions now about the new bivalent vaccines. This listener wants to know regarding once people get that vaccine, how long they should wait before they can feel comfortable socializing with others.
Yeah. So after you get a booster, you probably don't even have to wait as long as the first series. So in the first series, we usually say 2 weeks for the vaccine to really be optimal. There's some data that's showing that in boosters, you probably start getting activity as soon as 5 to 7 days after. But if you want to be safe, 2 weeks after the booster is probably the best time to really maximize the power of the vaccine reminder to your immune system.
All right. This listener notes that one of the things that we're looking forward to with these bivalent vaccines is the possibility of muting or blunting infections. What's the data on that so far? Do we not have enough yet?
We don't have enough data on whether or not it blunts just breakthrough infections, although the original vaccines were really good at preventing serious disease, hospitalization, death. As people know, they weren't quite as good as stopping the enemy at the front gate, which is why some people even got just mild infections. That's the promise of the new bivalent vaccines, but we don't have enough data just showing whether how effective they're really going to be.
Okay, this is a question about pandemic fatigue. As a medical expert, how do you deal with the idea that many people in society just kind of feel like COVID is over?
Well, I think it's understandable why people feel that way. Even President Biden sort of ad-libbed, the pandemic is over. It was really just speaking from the heart because that's what we all want to feel. It's important, you know, to celebrate when things are down like they are right now in the Bay Area, but it's important to just be flexible, not to throw away your mask, not to have mask burning parties in Ocean Beach on the bonfire, and to keep those tests going in the closet because we might need it later on. And I think mentally, just the idea that things may go up. If they go up, they'll be temporary. They'll come back down. And overall, we're in the right path, meaning that we're not seeing the same things that we did last year and definitely not 2 years ago. And every time we get a surge, the hospitals look better and better. But we just want to make sure that because infections are so disruptive to our lives, that we just look at the numbers like we look at the weather report. When it's sunny, you want to go to the beach. And when it's rainy, you stay inside. And if you go outside, you put on your protection, like your raincoat and your umbrella.
This person would like to know if we have achieved herd immunity at this point, or if that's even a term we should be concerned about.
Well, I think people originally wanted to invoke the idea that herd immunity was a possibility. But then we decided not to use those terms so much, not because that idea isn't one that is useful, but because the variants were making it such that, you know, even though we had immunity to one variant, that doesn't mean you have immunity to the other. But it depends on what your goalpost is. If you say our herd immunity to serious disease is a thing, we're certainly getting there because again, there's really a disconnect between how many cases we saw in the community to what I was seeing in the hospital. But again, that's where the new boosters are hopefully going to get us to, which is add in some extra, you know, dessert, you know, whipped cream on top to the, or icing on the cake to what we're already seeing, which is successive waves of infection, making us stronger and stronger against the effect of whatever variant comes. Because it's not just how scary the variant looks, it's the soil in which the variant falls on. So when people say, oh, that variant looks so scary in the lab and we should all be afraid, it probably is less important because we have a lot of experience in our body. Our immune system is going to be on guard. So that scary looking variant may not sit the same way in a very experienced population. At the end of the day, pandemics do end. 1918 flu pandemic took about 3 years, but it did end. We're thinking that this will also end as well, but we're on the way, but not quite there yet.
All right. This person is asking about hand washing, which, of course, is a good habit anyway. And just I'll add that I think it's probably something a lot of people got into a better habit with once COVID hit. But they're wondering, since the talk is more about masking and air now than it is about surfaces, is how keeping our hands clean or what effect does that have on preventing COVID infections?
Yes. Yeah, so hand cleaning probably has just a minimal effect itself on COVID per se, but it has a whole host of benefit for other infections that come around at the same time and will emerge with a vengeance in winter, including influenza, the common cold. There are about 200 viruses that cause a common cold. They are all really prevented by washing hands. There's other things that cause diarrhea, novavirus and C. difficile infection. They're all good hand washing. Hand washing is a really good prevention tool for them. So even though we're focused on COVID and we have for the last 2.5 years, hand washing saves lives. It's something that's so simple, but we do it in the hospital because there's a lot of data showing that we can transmit lots and lots of infections to each other if we don't wash our hands.
All right, we've got time for one more question. This listener says, we hear a lot about the winter surge and the holidays are coming up. You know, Halloween is just I guess it's in about 5 weeks, but then you get to Thanksgiving and Christmas. How worried are you, doctor, about a winter surge?
Well, I think the writing is on the wall, like I mentioned early in this segment, with cases already going up in colder countries, Belgium, UK, Denmark, other parts of Europe. I had an uncle who was in France last week, and he just got infected today. So I think that, you know, and when you look at the map, that's what's happening there. And Europe has always been a bellwether to the United States. So I think we will see an increase in cases. And as I mentioned, I don't think it will be the same way that we've seen COVID in California in the last two winters, which resulted in a lot of hospitalizations, a lot of deaths. Hopefully with the vaccines and the boosters and the early therapies, we'll keep our hospitals open and available to take care of people who come in with other things apart from COVID.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Dr. Peter Chin-Hong is professor of medicine and infectious disease expert at UCSF's School of Medicine.